When I was a young journalist, I went off to interview the finance director of a thriving Scottish retail outfit. He was an enthusiast for his company and what it was doing. And not surprisingly, he wanted the world to know about it and be told about it. The front half of the report already did this. The various members of the board of directors trumpeted their achievements, but what he wanted was an independent voice telling the story as well. And by this, he meant the auditors. He was happy enough that they gave a sign-off that all was well. That gave his figures the credibility he wanted, but it didn't tell what he saw as the full story. I can still hear him saying, with all the wily ways of a canny Scot, that he provided the auditors with a clean page in the accounts each year, in the hope that one day they would see fit to fill it with something other than a few sentences of regulatory formula. It made sense to me. From my early days in audit, I knew that auditors knew more about the company than most. They came in with an independent eye. They talked to the FD. And just as important, they talked to the chap around the stock system, and everyone else in between. They sniffed the air and got a feel for what was working and what was not. And that was what would have been useful to communicate to the world outside. This idea was not new. Back in 1781, Dr. Johnson, the great compiler of dictionaries and enthusiast for the English language, was asked by an old friend, whose husband had just died, to come and value his brewery business. Famously, he was found amidst the building, amidst all its machinery and components, doing much the same thing, simply looking around himself and thinking. People were bemused. They wanted to see him sit down and sift through the ledgers, and not just stand there gazing dreamily around. "What are you doing?" they asked him rather testily. He explained, "We are not here to sell a parcel of boilers and vats, but the potentiality of growing rich beyond the dreams of avarice." Who would have thought that the idea of reporting on the business model and value creation dated back to the 18th century? These days, my Scottish finance director would be a much happier man. A quiet revolution is underway. As a result of a few nudges in the right direction, auditors have indeed started reporting more, much more, and so have directors. It's not obvious quite why this is coming about. It may simply be that since the great financial crisis, people have collectively realised that talking more about how things are going is better than the catastrophic effect of no one knowing what is going on at all. The Financial Reporting Council's insistence that directors sign up to their accounts being fair, balanced and understandable, and the idea that auditors should talk about this, did its bit in changing the weather. Auditors do appear to be going above and beyond what is required, which is not what the culture has ever been about before. Admittedly, in the aftermath of the crisis, auditors know that it is in their best interest to demonstrate to the public what amazingly useful people they are. But I suspect there is a genuine desire here. You can feel it everywhere. The enthusiasm for concepts like integrated reporting, strategic reports, and narrative reporting is tangible. One senior auditor, talking about the changes in the air, said that doing more than is required by regulators should be a catalyst. Referring to one audit report, he said that he wanted it to kickstart debate by showing investors, audit committees, companies, and the audit profession as a whole what could be achieved. In the context of audit culture, these are remarkable words, and all around, the barriers are coming down. Regulators have realised that you can really change things by encouraging people to be free with information rather than by trying to force them to disclose, just as my Scottish finance director once tried to do.